Good evening. Hope everyone has had a beautiful Lord's Day. Now, when thinking about what I wanted to speak on tonight, I've been thinking about something that applied to each of us, but something that we all may have slightly different. Now, the part I'm referring to is priorities. Now, most of us in the room here tonight probably have similar priorities in that we have God first in our lives, and family and friends or job or somewhere in that realm of order. However, many people outside of this room have priorities that are vastly different from ours. Now, when you think of the word priority, what comes to your mind? The Macmillan Dictionary defines priority as something important that must be done first or needs more attention than anything else. Legendary Indian civil rights leader Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Action expresses priorities." Author of the Silver Linings Playbook, Matthew Quick, has been quoted as saying, "You need to make time for your family no matter what happens in your life." And successful author and businessman Stephen R. Covey once said, "Most of us spend too much time on what is urgent and not enough time on what is important." Well, after hearing these different viewpoints, it's very interesting, but I wanted to go ahead and turn to the source that we rely on the most, the Bible. So I'm going to take a look at passage in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. In this passage it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." Well, just by reading this, it sounds pretty simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, if it's that easy, why don't we all do it throughout our daily walk with God? Why is it so difficult for us to put our priorities together on a consistent basis? Well, the answer to that question is a combination of things, and mainly the ones I wanted to talk about tonight were selfish desires and the unpleasant elephant in the room that we all know, which is sin. Sin is so destructive and powerful that even the strongest Christians have allowed it to misplace their priorities. Satan tempts each of us with opportunities to sin on a daily basis, and sometimes even without us noticing it. He does this in such a sneaky manner that we can completely be engulfed in it before we know what has hit us. Many of us heard the analogy about if you place a frog into a boiling pan of water, and that it will jump out immediately. However, if you place a frog in a regular pan of cool water and slowly turn up the heat, that it will slowly cook itself to death. Now, as human beings, we're obviously more complex and intelligent than a frog. However, the same principle applies to us in certain ways. Satan can slowly and casually introduce sin into our lives, and before we know it, we have our priorities completely out of place. Now, with each of us here on a Sunday evening, if someone asked us what is the highest priority in our lives, I'm sure all of us would say God. However, would we all be practicing while we preach on a daily basis? It's easy to sit here on a Sunday evening with the comfortable surroundings of friends and family and say, we always place God as our top priority. But if we take a step back and analyze our lives, we can see how our priorities can be jumbled at a moment's notice. For example, someone could have to stay late at work in the evening from time to time. Maybe they have to miss a worship service on occasion because they tell themselves, well, it's not that big a deal. It's just one service. I'll be there next time. Well, obviously work is very important, but when you see this happen and it gets brushed off over and over again, it's easy for this to say, well, what turned into one time has turned into a trend, and even though this is not something I wanted, I mean, this person could be totally losing their faith just in a slow and gradual manner, like the frog cooking itself to death in the pan. However, if we allow sin to take hold of our lives, the concept of missing worship from time to time can turn to missing worship on a constant basis. Another aspect in which Satan can turn up the heat on Christians in a manner in which their priorities can be misplaced is during college. College is a very difficult time in many people's lives because they're thrown at many different kinds of stresses, many different kinds of responsibilities that they have to take care of. Now, I know every year college students are involved with intense homework assignments with somewhat ridiculous deadlines that may require them to study instead of participating in activities with their youth group from church. It doesn't seem like a big deal, again, at the time because everyone in college gets extremely busy. However, if those students aren't careful, Satan can use his crafty ways to gradually draw us from the church. And one other format I wanted to talk about in which Satan can utilize sin to damage our faith is through our hobbies. Now, this doesn't appear to be as much of a case on the West Coast, but many regions of the country that I've visited and that I've lived have fallen away from the church on Sundays because they want to watch professional football. Now, in the 2015 movie Concussion, Will Smith plays a forensic pathologist who is fighting the National Football League, which is trying to stop him from releasing evidence that head injuries suffered while playing football have led to many men to intense neurological damage and disorders. There is one line from the movie that really stands out to me, though. At one point in the movie, Will Smith's character is being warned to be careful while handling this delicate situation. The character in the movie warns him that an organization like this has become so big that it practically owns a day out of the week, with that being Sunday. Now, I can't say that I necessarily agree with that comment, but he brings up a good point. If you look at many areas of the country, if you look at Sunday, it's not a day where people are too concerned about going to church. It's not a day which they're worried as much about their faith. This can be a day where they can very easily fall into the traps of falling into the worshiping at the church of National Football League. And that's very unfortunate. Now, when I'm talking about some of these examples, I'm definitely not saying that, obviously, working hard and having to work late sometimes, nothing wrong with that. College students staying busy is something that's a necessity, and there's nothing wrong with watching professional football. Just the point I'm getting at is when these priorities get to be higher than our love for the Lord, that's when we start getting into a difficult situation. I think that Satan can really tempt us in various ways, which can get our priorities misplaced in a hurry. And we have to follow God's commands in body and spirit to be the living types of lives that he wants us to live. And there's one more verse that I wanted to take a look at before I close this evening. And it's from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 38. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" If we can keep our minds and our hearts in this type of mindset, I think we'll definitely all be on the right track. Now, as we close this evening, if anybody has any need for prayers or is in need of anything else, please come forward as we stand and sing.